Yes, it is time for episode number 78 of the Divorce Resource Guy podcast, and today we're talking about creating a business plan to get you through divorce.
Welcome to the Divorce Resource Guy podcast with Jason Lavoie, aka the Divorce Resource Guy, a former divorce attorney turned divorce coach, talking about all things divorce, including the good, bad, and the ugly from an attorney's point of view. Remember, you're not alone. And now, your host, Jason Lavoie.
Welcome, everybody, to this episode of the Divorce Resource Guy podcast. I'm your host, Jason Lavoie, aka the Divorce Resource Guy. Today's guest is a good one, and I know you hear me say that all the time, but I cannot lie. They are all good, right? I only have good guests. What can I say? I'm lucky. Faust Ruggiero, he has a career, which I won't bore you with all the details. You can read the show notes to get that information. But all of his 40 years has led him to develop what he calls the Process Way of Life Counseling Program. And he's developed it into a formal text presented in the Fix Yourself Handbook. So basically, it's about building your blueprint, a business plan, to get you through your divorce. And we're going to talk about why that's important. Without further ado, everybody, let me introduce to you Faust. Faust, welcome to the show. I'm very excited to have you today.
Jason, thanks so much for inviting me. I've been, I'm excited about doing this, the program with you, because it's a kind of thing that I think is really needed out there.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. We were just talking off the air, actually, about how there's not that many of these types of resources out there, which is one of the reasons why I got into this to begin with, and you've been doing this a lot longer than I have. So, hopefully it's helpful for people. And I think it's definitely needed. But for those who are not too familiar with you, give us a little bit of background about kind of like who you are, what you do, and how you got to this point.
Yeah, my name is Faust Ruggiero. I am a counselor. I've been counseling people for 4 decades here in Pennsylvania. Practices individual, family, substance abuse. I've been working with first responders, police, marriage and divorce counseling, kids through geriatrics. Been doing that for, I guess I say, almost 4 decades. Recently, a couple of years ago, decided to put what I've done in my private practice into a book. It's called, I call the Process Way of Life. The book took off, and I've been doing shows like this for the last 2 years, trying to get the word out there. And in today's situation, I'm looking to help people who are either getting ready to go through divorce, are stuck right in the middle of it now, or are coming through, and let you know there's a whole life out there, but you just got to look at where you are now and then start building from that point. It's just important to get educated and get through what you're in now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what do you call yourself? The people that you help, are you a coach, a therapist,
a psychologist? But I'll tell you what I like first name basis. I always did. I don't get into all the titles and all that sort of thing. I just like it nice and easy. It's better. The people relate much better to that.
Yeah, I'm definitely all for that too. And let's be honest, you have a great first name, right? It's Faust, right?
It's hard to forget, and hard to pronounce.
Did I say it right?
Faust.
Faust. I'm sorry. See?
Okay.
I think when we first started talking to each other off the air, I think I got it right then, but maybe
you did
I didn't
get it right.
But see,
time.
That's it. It's a so, but you know, it's great. It just rolls right off the tongue. And it's memorable. So people, the majority of people listening to this show are people involved in divorce in some capacity, and ugly divorces, not the nice amicable divorces, because if they were, they don't really need me, right? Or you. A lot of people, if they're lucky enough, which is kind of a odd way to put it when you're talking about divorce, but if they find resources like you early enough in the process, even before the court's involved or anything is filed, and they're just thinking about divorce, or they've maybe decided that yes, they are going to get divorced, but now they got to start gearing up for it and preparing, like, how do you help people? Give us a little kind of a case study or an example of how you would help somebody in that situation.
You know, that's a twofold question for me. The first one is something I did many, many years ago. We were talking about it before. I educated myself to the entire divorce process. You know, if you're going to counsel people, I firmly believe you have to know what you're talking about when they bring their problem to you. So it was important for me to understand the court system, how attorneys are working, divorce law, all those kinds of things. So when they walk in my office and they say, well, I'm talking to my attorney and he said, do this, and I have no idea what he's talking about, I, as a counselor, better know that. So I got myself educated to the whole process. The next thing I do is I never make the assumption that it's a generic kind of thing. That is, you walk in my office and every divorce is the same, because they're not.
None of them are.
Right. Right. So the first thing I'm going to do is establish where we are in this. Where are you in the divorce? How did you come through this? How did you get to the point that divorce is the option? And let's set a starting block so we know where we're going to go. And then the other thing I do is I put them in a position to understand this is how we're going to deal with it, and this is how we're going to move forward. A lot of counselors like to get into the feeling kinds of things, and that's okay. That's a small part of it. Right. But you know it, when you're in divorce, you are now in a business arrangement. And while I'm taking you through all your feelings and all the good things that we want to make you feel and you know, keep you strong, I also have to help you understand that you are now in a business. And if you let part of that business go, your emotions are going to take over and you're going to find yourself way behind the eight ball here. So I always, I want a business plan to get you, to help you get you through the divorce. That also includes me talking with their attorney. So I'm going to be able to say, okay, where are you? How are you going to be doing this? Are we, you know, what's opposing counsel like? You know, because that's another part of it. You know, you can have the greatest attorney in the world, and then you have a quote shark on the other side who really doesn't care about doing this professionally. It's about getting as much for you as I can, because then, you know, I know how some attorneys will string the process out, and then here's the extra $5,000 or $10,000 I charged you, and then go tell everybody else I was wonderful. It's not what this is about. So I want to gauge all of that, and then bring that to the patient that comes into my office.
So you have a direct communication oftentimes with the attorney if they have one?
I always do.
Now that's interesting.
And in some cases, I know the attorneys, a lot of the referring attorneys. So I know how they behave a lot. You know, over the years, many, many times I've been in court where I've had to testify for someone. So I not only know the attorneys or how they work in their office, I have seen them litigate. I've seen them in the courtroom and I see how they work. So, you know, when you have that piece, you really know how the attorney is working, because you know which, you kind of know how they're steering things. Some attorneys are better in court. Some attorneys are better negotiating, you know, counsel to counsel. Some people are better doing things kind of, you know, back room kind of things, whatever it may be. But I want to know which two attorneys I'm dealing with, because I think that's very important.
Yeah, no, that's interesting and good that you have that interaction, because you know you're part of the what I would call the divorce team, right?
Exactly.
I tell people, forming your divorce team, your attorney is one person, somebody like yourself is another person, you know, a coach or therapist, it could be anybody. And so when you communicate with the attorneys, what generally is the purpose of that communication? In other words, like, what are you talking about, and what are the attorneys looking for from you to do with their clients?
You know, an attorney, as you know, is always looking for what piece of the puzzle you're going to provide should they have to go to the next step. I mean, okay, that's fine. That's understood. The ones I work with, and I've created a network for my people, and they're looking for, you know, how I'm going to help the person first. They're also looking for me to keep them strong enough to do what we need to be doing. Because again, divorce is one of those things that helps a person implode from the inside. So, you know, they're just gone. There are times I'll look at a person and say, okay, let's do this simple thing. They want you to fill out this form. It's, you know, it's 2-3 pages. A child can do it. And they look at it and then it's like a deer in the headlights. They have no idea what's happening because they're so emotional. And there are times I'll tell the attorney, just bring the form to the office with them. I'll work the form out. And we do those things. That's on the legal end. In terms of the personal thing, I'm just keeping them focused on what they have to do right now, whether that's getting ready to file, whether that's while they're in the divorce process, or when they're coming out of it, and we're going to help them take control of their life, not just sit back and assume life is going to somehow get better. So, you know, there's a lot of different ends of this thing. It depends where the person is when they come into the office.
And how often do you meet with people? Is it a
weekly thing? At least once a week, right. Always once a week. And that's ongoing as long as we think it's that person and I think it's necessary. There are times it needs to be a little longer, but I also have a different way I approach things. I always say I'm a 24/7 guy. You know, it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm at home. The phone rings. You know, Susie's on the other end of the phone and says, you know, I'm just having a panic attack. This came up, and then you slow them down and get them back focused back on track. So it's once a week, but really, if you're going to do it right, it is as needed.
Okay, that's excellent. And because I know people are asking this question, so I figure we'll just get it right out there and I'll cover it right now with you. Attorneys charge at an hourly rate, right? Do you do the same, or as a different member of the team, do you have a different type of structure you work out with your clients?
You know, attorneys charge that hourly rate, but you know that means that you emailed them today and there went $100. We have a flat fee that's charged once a week. And if they stop by, it's a, you know, their appointment was on a Tuesday and Thursday said this after my attorney said this, stop by and it's going to take 10 minutes and it's not going on your bill. It's you pay for that weekly session. If you called me up, I didn't, write it down and tell the secretary to charge him. So no, you know, I mean, we don't do that.
No. And I'm glad you said that. And I'm glad that came out because I mean, I operate the same way on a flat fee basis. And we do that purposely to differentiate ourselves from an attorney, because the last thing, you know, people hourly rates and they know, and it, you know, snowballs very quickly, right? I know as an attorney, and I know as people from my coaching and people dealing with people who, you know, have attorneys, you know, they think, oh, you need different people on your team. Well, you're paying different people, but actually because of the way it's structured, working with people like you, keeps their legal bills down in the long run.
Well, the other thing I tell them, and I tell the attorneys this, because it answers your previous question, what do I do for the attorneys? I help their clients trust them just a little bit better. So we, you know, if this machine that we're network we're setting up works properly, the person settles just a little bit, and that allows them to trust people. But when you're going into an attorney's office, and you know, and some of them will say that'll be $5,000 up front, and we charge for everything that we do, the person automatically is victimized again. You know, I'm victimized in my divorce. I'm going to lose half of what I own or whatever it may be. And now my attorney is going to rape me for the charges. And some attorneys, you know, and I discarded some attorneys and said, please don't go to those folks because they'll do things like that. You know, two attorneys are out to dinner, you know, and one is representing one and one is representing the other. And they're talking now. And before you know it, the bill goes up, you know, and so, you know, I try to get away from all those kinds and the things, and the people that are working with me, those attorneys, they know that. They know that I'm going to train my people, and we're all going to be above board, and they will make out much better in the long run because they're going to get a whole lot more referrals, and they don't have to do all those things.
That's right. And the example you just gave of the two attorneys out to dinner, you know, unfortunately I've been privy to those types of examples myself firsthand. And that's, you know, really kind of what drove me out of the practice of divorce laws, because I did not want to be part of that. And that's not how I operated. And so, you know, it's definitely not, I would say, it gives attorneys a bad name, right? Stuff like that is what gives attorneys a bad name. And not everybody is like that. There are good attorneys out there. So I don't want everybody to think that this is just, you know, a blanket statement. It's not. But it's out there. Who you work with matters. And so that's why your team matters. Now, let's talk about what you think are like the biggest obstacles. We can go two or three. You know, what are the biggest obstacles that people you work with going through a divorce are facing that you help them overcome?
The first one is their own emotions. It's a horrible time. And when I say that I'm not by any means saying that there's something wrong with them. Any of us, if we're going to go through a divorce, our entire world is going to change. Sure. So there's an emotional response to that. So that's the first thing I help them deal with. Keep them focused on business, but allow them to emote at the same time. That's the first thing. Second thing is to understand the process. I don't care what business you get into. At this particular point in your life, part of your business world is your divorce. So you've got to be able to be educated, focus on that, and then be able to make educated moves in timely fashion, because that's just what this demands right now. And if you want your lawyer's bills to be down, then be quick on the draw, so to speak, with him. Don't put that person in a position to call you three times or to have to do things over again, because you're going to pay for that. So let's get you focused in on doing what you're going to be doing. And then the third thing is to understand that you are going to come through this. This does not have to end your life. It doesn't have to mean that from now on, everything's dark in your world. We'll rebuild it together. We'll get there.
Yeah, no, that's great stuff. And so important, because I always preach too, children in custody, that's separate. But outside of that, you have to treat the divorce as a business transaction, right? Because what the problem is, it is a business transaction, but the emotions get intertwined, and that's when everything gets all messy.
And I tell them, if you get into the position where you're going to be with some type of a conciliator or whatever, master, whatever it may be, what they're called, those are the attorneys that are charged by the court to hear your case first. If you're going to go in there, or to the judge in a county court, whatever you're doing, do you think the judge is going to say, well, how do you feel today? It's not going to happen. The judge is going to say, give me the facts and I will decide based upon the facts of this case. So you better be able to look at that and be strong enough to present. Your attorney is going to do most of the talking for you in family court. But however, you need to be able to have everything where it needs to be, because you just might have to answer questions and or provide information that's going to arm your attorney with what you need to do. So it's a business. You can go home, cry, scream into your pillow, do what you have to do. But there are times when, even if it's a half hour, an hour a day, where you're going to have to pull it all together, focus, and get some things done.
No, absolutely. And, I always say it like this, too. There's a time and a place for everything, right? You have to be able to deal with the emotional aspect of this in some way, in a healthy way, right? And they do that by going to people like you. And otherwise, what happens is all that emotional backup is going to manifest itself in unhealthy ways, exactly. which you don't want, and which can adversely affect the divorce. Or worse, God forbid. So, we're not saying don't deal with it, but you got to deal with it in the right spots, in the right way.
That's right.
So you can deal with the divorce when you need to, and treat it as you should, to get it done. And also, so you can make the best decisions, right? Like, if you're in court, and there's discussion between attorneys and the judge, you need to be in the right frame of mind to be listening, processing what's going on, and perhaps giving your attorney some input that the judge is seeking right before he makes or she makes a decision. So your frame of mind is so important in those times, because all too many times, and I know you know this too, in court, on the spot, it's overwhelming, intimidating, and all this. If the judge is looking for some direction from one or both of the parties, and you go through your attorney who's standing right next to you, yes, but your attorney is trying to talk with you, and the judge sees this, the judge might direct, talk to the parties directly themselves. It happens all the time. You got to be ready for that and mentally prepared to handle a situation like that.
One of the ways I explain it, and it's kind of hard for them to hear it the first time, I said, when you got married, it was, you went through all the business, get your license. Maybe you went through pre-canid things or whatever you went through. You did all these things and then planned that whole ceremony. And all of it was designed in your mind to move forward and begin the rest of your life. Might've been family, might've been business, might've been kids. Whatever, home, all that sort of thing. Now you're going through a divorce. It's not what you wanted. It's not what you ever planned on, but it's also like your marriage was, setting the stage for the rest of your life. So what you do now and the way you do it is going to be a real huge factor in how you move forward. So if you get emotional and you mess up a few things, you may lose some ground, and then you're going to have to pick that up and try to make up for it later. Get yourself focused now, because you may lose just a little bit less and give yourself a better chance to move forward. It's not a fun thing to say to someone, you know, hey, look at your divorce like you did your marriage, but it is where you are right now. And it is going to be the first step in how you move forward.
Yeah. And it really is, when you're talking about it as a business transaction, it is getting married, right? All that planning, getting divorced, it's really the same thing, except you're just planning a different thing. And you know, when you talk about undoing, or, you know, taking a step backwards or undoing something in the process, to me, I call that credibility, right? Because with a court, credibility is everything. And with a judge, and once your credibility is shot or damaged, it's extremely hard to repair that.
Yes,
not impossible, but extremely hard. And it's an uphill battle, and you don't want to, from the beginning, you want to have high credibility with the divorce judge, right?
Yes, you do. And that's not hard. As I say, all you're going to do, you're going to be humble, you're going to be grateful, but you're going to be intelligent enough to express yourself when necessary. That's all it is.
Right.
You know, and the other thing I do with my people, and it's another reason why lawyers like referring in my direction so much, is that I prepare them for court. You know, lawyers don't always do that. And, you know, some do, some will do this, and they'll say, okay. But I, when I say prepare, I'm talking about how they dress. I'm talking about how they carry themselves, how you answer the judge. You don't, you know, the judge asks you a question, you don't say, yeah, you know, you know how that works. Your Honor, this is what, and then you give one sentence straight to the point, with the respect that the court requires and deserves. And so I train them about how to do that, how to go into a conference with the person you're so angry at and that person's counsel. You know, that may happen. You may have some negotiations that you can work out before you get into a courtroom and avoid those costs. So, you know, we also train them to do those sorts of things and get through all that without going home and sticking a gun in their mouth, you know?
Right. But it is so important. And I call it's the little things, you know, that, like dressing, you know, how to, when and how to respond if somebody addresses you in a formal court situation, that most attorneys, you're right, there are a lot of attorneys out there who don't do it. And my feeling is not that they discount that or they don't think it's important, but they overlook it because they're concentrating on, you know, more important, and I'm doing air quotes when I say that, issues that they have to worry about, or they assume that their clients understand those things, which you should never be assumed. And, you know, time is money, and it would just cost more time, and they would have to bill the client more money to have those little conversations. But it gets missed. And I always made it a point to cover all that when I was a practicing attorney, because it is important. But now as coaches, you know, that's at the forefront of what we do. And so the client is prepared when they face these situations.
And that's what I tell them. There's a way through this. You take your time. It's one day at a time. You know, it's not uncommon for me to, you know, have someone say, well, I'm, you know, Thursday morning, I have to be in court at 9:00. And I say, good. Then Wednesday night, you'll be in my office. And they say, why? We're adding another session. I say, yeah, because I'm going to prepare you for that. I will, that by that point, have talked to the attorney and say, what exactly is the hearing all about? And then I'll prepare them. I know what needs to be done at that point. And this is when you're going to show up. This is how you're going to look. These are probably the questions that are going to be asked. It's a discovery hearing or whatever it may be. These are probably what's going to happen. You address the court this way. You know, I have guys that come in, you know, and they're laborers. So, you know, they're dressing up as a nice flannel shirt. I said, no, you're not wearing your nice flannel shirt to court. It's not going to happen. We know court's coming up. It's 2 weeks away. You're going to find yourself in the mall. Take someone with you if you must. Get yourself a white shirt with a tie and a sports coat. Wear a pair of khakis. That's fine. But, you know, that's how you start things off. For the dress. And they look at me,
right.
I'm not kissing anybody's you-know-what. I said, I'm not asking you to. I'm asking you to give yourself an advantage. If you want to go in and say, I'm the hard head that that isn't going to bend on this, the judge will do the same.
Right. What image do you want to portray? I'm not saying wear a tuxedo. But
exactly. As I said, there's no top hat involved here. But on the other hand, you're going to show the judge who you can be. That's all there is to it. And you know, if you don't, write a bigger check down the road, because, you know, that's why we have support and alimony and all those cool things that everybody hates or right. loves, depending on what side you're on.
Absolutely. How do you want the court to see you? Right.
Right.
Do they want you to see that? Do you want them to see you as a knucklehead, you know, laborer, who oftentimes they are, and there's nothing wrong with that at all, right? But, you know, the other side is trying to portray you as probably a knucklehead, yeah. or worse.
Well, that's a key. That's what I tell them. I said, the other side is, in order to strengthen their position, needs to make you look bad. So do you want to play into their hands, or do you want
right.
to, you know, and your spouse is used to seeing you dress like what you dress, and all of a sudden you walk in, you will shock her, that person, and that person's attorney, when you walked in and ready to go. That attorney has to redo his thinking on the spot and put him in a position to do that. I mean, you know, so, you know, it's all that kind of stuff only. And again, not in my mind too. Let me see how much I can help you, you know, win in this case. That's not my job. My job is to keep you from destroying yourself, because I have to emotionally put you back together and at the very least prepare you to move on with the next phase of your life. So we want to get through this one as well as we possibly can.
Right. It's not about trying to misrepresent who you are or what's going on. That's not it at all. It's just about dressing for the occasion, really, is it?
That's right. Right.
And showing the respect that the court right. deserves. And it's a formal event.
And the next one is the language. I said, okay, you know, I see you like to say these certain things. That's probably not going to fly in court. Don't use the F-bomb. You used it 40 times in my office while you were here. Don't do that in court. Don't accuse. Don't get angry. Show yourself as a professional with no emotion. Because if you react, the other side's going to say, see what they do, Your Honor. And we don't want that. So you're going to be, hey, I'm here. I'm, you know, happy. I'm not happy to be here, but it looks like I am. And I'm answering your questions straightforward and honest. And I'm going to be, you know, my language is, it looks like I'm, you know, it's like writing it and make it legible. Same thing when you speak, let's be intelligent about what we're saying. So I don't school them so much as what to say,
no,
how to speak in a courtroom. That's what we're looking
think
for.
Before you talk. That's what I say,
right?
Just take
and
a
unfortunate,
moment.
I'm fortunate that I, you know, through all the time that I was doing this, knowing all the court, I knew in our county at the time we had 6 or 7 judges, and I knew 5 of them. You know, I could go into chambers if I needed to when I worked with the county, so I actually knew how the judges thought, so that prepared me for court down the road. So I, you know, if you're in a judge's chambers, the judge speaks a certain way. So he's really without knowing it, is really telling you, this is how I like to talk. So then when you bring that back to your client and you say, okay, this is which is another thing I say, I'll always, if I can find that, I'll ask the attorney, who's the judge? Because that matters.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you know, and the judge's background matters. You may not, you know, people may not like to hear that. But if you're a female judge that came from an abusive relationship, you might not to be happy, too happy with the redneck coming in who slapped his wife. I mean, so we need to know all those things. That's why I say it's a business first. And, you know, I like to know all those things to prepare my people, because that's only step one. Phase one is me getting you through this divorce. Phase two is where we get down to business and we rebuild your life. But if you're going to come out of this, you know, stung pretty bad, well, now we have to, the next phase in your life is to put you back together before we can even begin the plan to move forward.
Right. It's like Humpty Dumpty, right?
Yep.
You don't want to fall off the wall, so we have to put you back together.
That's right. Exactly. Simple as that.
Well, this has been great. And that's why time flies when you're having fun, I guess. So we're practically out of time today, but I think we're going to have to, I'm going to have to, if you want, bring you on again in the future to have a discussion about that phase two part, because that's important too, right? What's next? The divorce is almost over or over. Now what's next, right? What are we going to do and how are you going to do it? I love focusing on that also. So that'll be for next time. But let people know how they can find you and...
Yeah, absolutely.
What services?
Easiest way to find me, I have a website. It's my name, faustregiro.com. If you can't remember that, try to remember the Fix Yourself Handbook, and that'll get you to the website. It'll tell you everything you need to know about me and how I do things. And there's a contact link. If you're going through a divorce, and even I'm not looking for your business unless you want to get involved, but I will certainly answer questions. If you have a question, and there's a contact link there, I'm real good about getting back to people, then by all means, feel free to contact me. I'll do that by email if you want. If you want to set up a little Zoom thing with me and you want to do some things to move yourself forward, I'll be happy to do that. But by all means, the goal is to get you through this. It's a very difficult thing to do if you're going through it alone. And keep in mind, your attorney is your business partner, but he's not your emotional support. It's not his, not what the design is all about.
That's not the hat that he's wearing or that he should wear.
Good to have that person in your corner.
Absolutely. Now, do you work with people outside Pennsylvania?
Yeah, it's not a problem. You know, I have people that are referring clients just for the support. I think I've 7, 8, 9 states now since we started open this up a little bit. So, you know, and I have people, I have one woman in California who, I Zoom with her once a week.
Yeah, a lot of people in California I work with too. And that's the beauty of what we do. Every state has their own specific divorce laws that vary, but the process and the obstacles that people go through is the same.
I always tell them the bells and whistles are different, but the chassis is the same on all the cars. And, you know, so if you, I know enough that it's simple. I'm going to talk to your attorney and say, well, this is this, you know, I'll ask them. I know what questions to ask, and we get people through it. So if they need a support, by all means, let me know.
That's it. And for everybody who's in the car listening to this or can't write down the website, I will put that all in the links in the show notes. So you know where to go find all this information. It will be there, I promise you. Foss, thank you so much for being on the show. It was great, and I can't wait to talk to you again.
It's been my pleasure. Have a great day.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Faust. I just love saying that name. Don't you? It just rolls off the tongue, like I said, Faust. But he really knows what he's talking about. Him and I do similar type work, and basically we're empowering you, the people who need the help, with the information that you need to know to help guide you, be your advocate, and make sure that you get through this process the right way so you get where you need to be. Now, if you need help with your divorce, check out any of my coaching programs. You can find me at jasonlavoie.com. You can email me, jason@jasonlavoie.com. I'll be happy to give you more information on how I may be able to help you. Also, if you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast. It's free, and if you subscribe, you will get all new episodes when they come out, so you don't have to go searching for them. In the meantime, all I'm going to ask you to do is be strong, act confident, and stay positive. I'm Jason Lavoie, a.k.a. The Divorce Resource Guy, and I'll be seeing you real soon.